All right, so we are in our series here. We're in the series of Facing Your Giants. And we have, again, I'm going to tell you, as I've been telling you every single week, just so that way when this series is over, you will know, and hopefully this is ingrained into your heads, into your brains, into your ever fiber being of who you are, of what giants are. And we know that giants, what? They represent anything that what? Is opposed to God. Anything's opposed to God. Whether it distracts us from our focus on God, whether it detours us from our service for God, or even if it drains us of our driving passions for God. And we have been talking about every week that when we face our giants, we need to be more like David. We focus on God and not that giant. And if we do those things, if we can focus on God and not our giant, then we know that God will get us through it. So let me go a recap of what we've talked about. The first giant we talked about was temptation. And we know that with temptation, you are in a continual fork all the time. You always have a choice to make whether to do the right thing or the wrong thing. And we know that it's a choice that you make that can lead you to either happiness through God, or it can lead you to sorrow through the circumstances. I thought we talked about pride. We talked about pride being hated by so much by God that He put it on His top 10 list and really much His number one, if you will. And then we know that not only pride, it's on His top 10 list. We know that pride will hurt us, that it will keep you from growing and will keep you living for God Himself. And then the following week we talked about fear. We said that the fear did not come from God, right? Because the Bible says the spirit of fear, it says He didn't give you that spirit of fear. So it must be coming from the devil if it didn't come from God. And we know that fear will paralyze you. It will keep you from doing the things that God wants you to do, and it will keep you from His plan for your life. And then we talked about anger and how we are to, when we get angry, what do we get angry with? In Jesus' day, Jesus' time, He got angry, but it was righteous anger. Why was it considered righteous anger? Because it didn't focus on Him. It focused on God and the injustice that was done towards Him. But ultimately, anger, it's about forgiveness. It's about forgiving people. It's about forgiving things in our lives that has angered us. And then last week, we talked about greed. And greed was about wanting more and more and more. And we said that greed's cousins are envy and covetousness, right? They are there together. They're there. And we know that greed, if we allow it, it will deceive us. It will deceive us from the things that God has for us. It also not only will deceive us, but it will lead us into all the sinful behaviors that we looked in the scriptures, where it led from lying to murder, theft. And then, but more importantly, probably the most of all, that it is, or it will, push God out of our lives. And I use the word ego, and that means edging God out. And that's what happens when we allow greed to take hold. So this is the last of the giants this week. I don't know if you came in, you saw back on the table, there was a basket, and in the basket there was a bunch of rocks. We started this series off by saying what? David took 5 smooth stones. Now, I tried. It's defined smooth stones. Was tough, so they're not going to be smooth, but I do have a smooth one in my hand here. But what did he do? He took 5 smooth stones, and he only took one shot at the giant, right? Put the giant down. So they're in the back table. There are rocks in there. And what I want you to do today, at some time after the service, whatever it is, there are some Sharpies back there, and I want you to write your giant on here, whether it's one of the ones we talked about, or it's one that we didn't talk about, but a giant, something that is keeping you away from God, something that's not having your focus on Him, and put that on there and keep that with you. And remember, this is what David used to take out his giants. Okay, So this week, we are talking about, if you have your blue sheet, we're talking about procrastination, right? And here's a little poem. I got a couple things for you to give you. Here's a poem for procrastination. Procrastination is my sin. It brings me naught but sorrow. I know that I should stop it. In fact, I will tomorrow. All right? Now, this one really doesn't have a little bit of procrastination, but I think you'll get the gist of this story. There was this farm boy that was wagon had overturned, and it hit a bunch of load. His whole load was full of corn, and it had overturned. And the farmer, who was just a little bit off, saw that this happened. And the farmer knew the boy, and he goes to him and said, "Hey, you know what? You've got some issues here. I'll tell you what. Why don't you just stop for a minute? Let me go, let's go get some dinner. And when we finish eating dinner, I'll come back and I'll help you turn the wagon up. And he goes, well, I can't do that because my Paul's not going to be happy about that. And he goes, no, don't worry about it. Don't be foolish. Do it. He'll be okay. And so after a little bit more convincing, he's okay. He finally agreed. He says, but I'm sure Paul's not going to be happy about this. He says, so and he wants a dinner. And after dinner, the boy thanked the farmer and said, that was a good meal. So let's go ahead and get that. But all of a sudden, he remembered about his Paul. And he goes, he tells him that, I know my Paul's not going to be happy. And he says, don't be foolish, boy. He's going to be all right. He'll know that you fed and I helped you. He goes, by the way, where is your father? He goes, well, he's under that wagon. So there's a definition of procrastination, right? Let me listen to this, the definition of it. It is the act of willfully delaying the doing of something that should be done. Let me read that again. It is the act of willfully delaying the doing of something that should be done. And for some people, it's an habitual way of handling things. One of my things, I've gotten better at this, is one of the things, I think I've told you guys before, that I would take the trash out the day after the trash man came. That was just something that I did, and my wife would love to tell those stories all the time about that. But there's an old proverb that says, never put off tomorrow what you can do today. Well, the procrastinator decides to twist it around and tries to amuse himself, and he goes, never do today what you can put off tomorrow. See, we understand that people in society procrastinate, and we procrastinate a lot. Sometimes that may be putting off our appointments with our dentist. I'm guilty of that. Or maybe appointment to go into our doctor because we're afraid of what might be happening or whatever the case may be. So we put those things off. Or maybe it's something like, I don't know, exercising. You know, because I know I've got to exercise. I'll start tomorrow. And tomorrow never comes. It may be there's things like that. But we need to understand that. And we've all done things like this, right? I'm sure that if I was to go around this room, I'm sure we could all say that we've done that one time or another. We have procrastinated on something. And here's the thing, that it's one thing to procrastinate with the things of this world, which really have no eternal consequences. But it's another thing to procrastinate with the things of the Lord, which do have eternal consequences. It's funny the sad way that how many of us will get some of our priorities confused. And what I mean by that is that we never, well, most of us, if we're responsible, we never procrastinate when it comes to the matter of money. Right? Because there's a bill due, we pay that bill on time. We're supposed to, and we should. All right. So we never worry about that. Or and the reason I'm saying this is because I've heard people, and as a matter of fact, I had a buddy that used to do this. They knew the gas price was going to go up the following day, 3 or 4 cents, and way back when gas was still in the low dollars. So that's how long ago this was. He would go the night before, even if it meant him going out when the gas station was closed, just so he could save a few cents the following day. Right? We might have done that. So we see that we don't procrastinate when it comes to it, when it affects our pocketbooks. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't do that, right? I'm saying you should pay your bills and you should make sure that you do things. And if you can save a few pennies, that's okay. I'm not saying that's the wrong thing. But what my question is how much more important are the souls, are our souls and then the souls that are around us? See, these actions expose our true priorities. And it leaves us without excuse in the judgment. Because when you get to heaven, when you face judgment, if you're not a Christian, when you face judgment, you're not going to be, there's no excuse. Well, how come? God. No, there's none of that. It's too late. How many people have we met in our own lives that they say they need to get their relationship right with God? Right? You know, I'm a Christian, but man, I haven't living the right way. And I've got to get my life right. Or what about when God says, you know, I know I got to get saved. I know it's the right thing to do, but I don't know. I'm not ready for that. Or how many people we've had heard says, yeah, I've got to get to church, man. I got to get around to. I got to get to find a church home, and I got to start going regularly. I got to make it a habit. I got to start doing these things, but they never get around to it. in this sermon that we're going to talk about today in Acts. We're going to talk about the giant of procrastination. And it was active in the life of a Roman official named Felix, whose account that we're going to find in Acts. So if you look at Acts chapter 24, Acts chapter 24, look down at verse 22. Acts chapter 24, verse 22. I'll begin reading there in a second here. After some days, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, which is very important because right here, this is talking about an interfaith, not interracial, but interfaith marriage. So already we have a problem here. Okay? Felix having a rather acute knowledge of the, verse 22 is I meant to say, that's what I meant to start, 22. If I read it 24, I apologize. I'll get to that. Verse 22. But Felix, having a rather accurate knowledge of the way is capital. Your Bible should be a capital W in there. If it is, that we're talking about Jesus himself. We're talking about God, right? Bible says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? So here we go. So he knows about God. But Felix, having a rather accurate knowledge of the way, put them off, saying, when Lysias, the tribune, comes down, I will decide your case. And then he gave orders to the centurion that he should be kept in custody, but have some liberty, that none of his friends should be prevented from attending his needs. Then, in verse 24, after some days, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, and he sent for Paul and heard him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 25. And as he reasoned about righteousness, so he's telling him about God's righteousness, telling him about what he needs to have, what is going on, and he talks about self-control, things that Jesus, that you have to have, these sort of things, and then about the coming judgment. What he's saying is, look, Felix, I'm not sure what the words come out of his mouth, but I can assume that he's saying, Felix, if you don't change your ways, you're going to hell. You've got to change your ways to do this. Okay, what does he say? Right after the coming judgment, he goes, Felix was alarmed and said, go away for the present. When I get an opportunity, I will summon you. So here we go. We see that Felix, he missed his opportunity for salvation because of procrastination. Right? And through this thing and a few other places, we're going to discover the dangers of procrastination and how to defeat procrastination in our own lives. So number one, the first thing I want to share with you is procrastination robs you for opportunities for service. Procrastination robs you of opportunities for service. Matthew 26 is probably one of the accounts, it is one of the accounts in the New Testament of a missed opportunity that can never be retrieved. Now we're not going to turn to Matthew 26, but you can write that down and look it up later. But I'll give you a little background. Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? And this was on the night of his betrayal, this is the night of his arrest and everything going on. So he took Peter, James, and John into the garden with him. So he took his three closest disciples, three people that he was the closest to, consider friends if you will, to them into the garden. He told them, he goes in there and says, I'm going to go off and pray. You stay here, stay and watch, and I want you to pray as well. Three times Jesus went aside to go pray in the garden, and three times he came back and discovered that his friends all had fallen asleep. See, they could have not known at that time the significance of what was happening at that moment. But I'm pretty confident that later on, if they would have, they would probably have given anything to replay the events of that night, just to have a redo, right? Because they would have wanted to stay awake, and they would have wanted to watch, and they wanted to pray for the Lord in his hour of agony. But they let one of the most critical nights in history pass them by. See, one day each of us, we're going to look back. There's no doubt we're going to look back. And we're going to realize critical moments and hours of decision that we just slipped through our fingers because of procrastination. And if you're like me, which I think a lot of you are, there are times when I sense the Lord's leading me to reach out to someone. Right? But what happens is we get so busy, we get so caught up in things that we forget about it. Just to later come to find out that person was going through some serious issues that they really needed to hear from us. And because I put up the Lord's leading, I also missed the opportunity to reach out and minister to that person. And I can tell you it's not a very good feeling to have. When you know you could have said something, the Lord had prompted, the Spirit had prompted you to go to that person and talk to them, and we chose not to do it. And then we find out later on that it was. I'm going to give you a quick story that God just brought to my attention right now. It's not even in my notes. I had a youth many, many years ago that I was working with back when I was in the 90s. I'm not going to give his name or anything like that. But not too many years ago, he gave his life up. He jumped off the bridge. The Lord prompted me probably 2 weeks prior. You know what? He ain't spoken to him in a while. You should probably reach out to him. And I didn't do it. I don't know whether my words would have not had him jump, but I do know my words never got out. There was no chance. That's the Lord prompting. That's the Spirit prompting me, and I didn't do it. So keep that in mind when it happens to you. And I may be touching nerve with someone right now. You may right now, or as we go through this sermon on procrastination, you may be saying right now that a person's coming to mind, or maybe several people that are coming to mind that God has said, go reach out to them. And here's the thing. Respond to them as soon as the Spirit speaks to your heart. Now, here's what I'm asking you to do. Most of you have blue papers or scrap paper, whatever. Write their name or names down now. Now, I know you remember not too long ago that I had you guys get up, get your cell phones out, and make that phone call now. I don't want you doing that now because I want you to make sure that you hear all about procrastination and how dangerous it is if we continue in that. But if sometime through this sermon you have a name or names, write them down. And make sure that you go after them. Don't let anything stand in your way of following the Spirit's leading when it comes to the spiritual urgency that we need to do. And it's whether it's in your life or another person, either way. See, life is too precious. And the consequences are too eternal to do anything less than obey than we have a chance. Some of you are new. Some of you have not heard a story. Some of you have, and if you just listen through it once, if you listen to it, just bear with me. Years and years ago, I worked for Baxter, and I worked in a warehouse, and there was this driver who came in very frequently. We delivered things, and I was still pretty much a babe in Christ. I wasn't really comfortable sharing my faith, but I would do it if somebody would confront me with it. But I always had tracts you give out, and I would hand those tracts out just in case, because that was my way of doing it. That's the reason why we give you guys these hope cards, that you can hand them out. Hopefully that serves up a conversation. Because if I hand a tract out and they ask me questions, then I open up. But anyway, so the Lord led me to go do it. I said, hey, well, I'm going to load this truck. It was a full truck. It was a whole 53-foot truck. So I'm going to go unload this whole thing. And so I'll give it to him afterwards. Get everything unloaded. Something came up, did this, did that. So I signed his paperwork. He left, drove off. I said, oh, I forgot to give him a track. I said, all right, he comes in regularly. I'll give it to him next time. Never saw him again. Don't know whether he's alive, he's dead, I don't know. I'm praying that someone else did. Someone else actually listened to the Spirit and did it. So I know that if this was back in the 90s when I did this, and now I did it again, not too many years ago. Procrastination is very dangerous when it comes to eternal consequences. And we never know when God is prompting us to do something, and we sit back and we wonder, why not? And we're going to get into those things in a little bit. See, here's the thing. Satan wants to convince that you have plenty of time to serve God. Plenty of time. So he's saying this, yeah, there's no big rush. Don't worry about it. We got you covered. You'll get to it. There's no big rush to do good works. No big rush. But here's the thing. When God says, when we see a work that needs to be done, what happens is Satan will come to us and say, you know what? I believe that someone else should do it. Someone else should be doing that. We should find something later to do for God. And so we don't do it. And we missed an opportunity to service of God. Because here's the thing. Because if Satan convinces you to be idle for God, then He will have us right where He wants us, because He knows the Scriptures. He knows them very well. And that, and He knows that they teach that we must be faithful servants to God, and we just sit back and do nothing. We will be like the servant who buried his master's money. And when his master came back to see what he had done, he took his money, what? From him, and called him a wicked and lazy servant, and had him removed from his sight. These are the things that we need to be careful. These are the things that God wants us to do. When there's a service to do something for Him, we need to jump on it. And that may be someone that you need to speak to today. So number one, procrastination robs you of opportunity to service. Number two, procrastination robs you of the opportunity to be right with God. The opportunity to be right with God. See, look, no one who is a practicing procrastinator will succeed at anything. Not going to happen. See, because procrastination robs you of the opportunity to be right with God. It's a sin that separates us from God. Oh, I meant to ask God for forgiveness. See, procrastination robs us of that which we can never be regained. Ephesians says, Paul tells us to make the most of every opportunity. An opportunity unused is without a doubt an opportunity lost. So let us resolve to take advantage of the opportunities that are presented to us and that in our own life. And that's getting right with God. What does that mean? Maybe it's forgiveness you need to ask. Maybe it's keeping you from having a fellowship with the Lord because you have sin in your life. Ask for forgiveness, right? Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's an opportunity that you should be in a Bible study that you need to attend. There's a Bible study that you need to attend because it's only going to help you grow. Whatever it is, don't procrastinate with getting your life right with God. On the screen, there's going to be a verse coming up. James 4:17. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. Keep that up for a second there. Listen about that. I want you to look at that verse, and I want you to let just think about it. I want you to meditate on it, whatever you need to do, to think about that verse. What are the things that you know to do right and you have not done it? Because that is what God says is sin. See, I know the things I ought to do and I don't do them. Right? We know them. And I know the things I shouldn't do, but I do those. But I procrastinate on the things I really want to change in my life. So why do we do that? Well, the Bible says we procrastinate for one of five reasons. Now, there may be more, but these five I think will fit. Number one, indecision. We're big on indecision, right? James says, a double-minded man is unstable in all he does. Think about this. You go to a restaurant. And this is just a small example. We go to a restaurant. What do? We get a menu. The waiter, waitress comes to our table, says, can I get your drink order? We take our drinks and says, hey, you have an appetizer? Well, the appetizer looks pretty small. Says, yeah, I think we'll take one of them. Sometimes we don't do that. Then I'll come back. Then we look at this main menu. In America, our menus are huge compared to other parts of the world. So we have this list of many things to choose from. And we're saying, I don't want this, I don't want this. I mean, I recently just did this. I just don't know if I want this, I want this. I'm not sure how it's going to taste. So the waiter comes back and we say, no, go away, we're not ready yet. And it just goes on. We're indecisive on even what we want to eat. And even though most of us go to a restaurant, our favorite restaurant, and we order the same thing. But when we get there, we see that menu, we're indecisive. I don't know, I really want that again this day. But you're going to end up getting it anyway, so just order it. I was telling somebody that I love gift cards because that's when I can go to a restaurant of one of my favorites and I'll try something new because I didn't pay for it. And that way you get the chance to do things. But anyway, indecision causes us not only to do this, but sometimes indecision causes us from buying a car, maybe choosing a college, whether getting married or not, changing a job, or even sharing the gospel. I don't know if it's the right time or not. When has it ever, never been a right time to share Jesus? Well, my work doesn't want me to do it. I can't do it. Okay, there's other ways around it. Bring your Bible to work. Read it at lunchtime. Read it in the lunchroom. If you're in a Bible study, bring your Bible study stuff there. They'll see it. People ask questions. Guess what? You're not asking them. They're asking you. Well, indecision. Number two. Perfectionism. is another reason why we just procrastinate. Because if Ecclesiastes 11 says, if we wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. Think about this. Couples. Married couples. How many of you heard this one say? Well, I have a baby when I can afford it. You'll never afford it. Especially if you have a child. And you realize how much money that costs. The unexpected things come up that you never thought of as you were growing up. That your parents did for you. Right? Because if you wait for things to be perfect, you're going to be waiting a long time. Because either one thing, you're not going to have the time or you're not going to have the money. Either way. Because it's not going to be there to be perfect. How many of you heard this? You're talking to somebody about the Lord. I'll come to the Lord, you know, when I clean up my life. Really? I think it's the reason why you're supposed to come to the Lord. Because, seriously, this is no joke. How many of you go to a doctor when we're healthy? No one. If you do, you might need some more help. But we don't go to a doctor when we're healthy. Why? Because we don't need a doctor. And that's the reason why that we need to come to Jesus and not want me to not wait for when things are perfect. Because we live in a sin-sick world and we need them. Or your friend may need them. Number three, the third way the procrastination talks about, third reason. We've talked about this in one of our giants. Fear. Right? The fear of man is a trap, Proverbs 29 says. Proverbs is huge on this kind of stuff. Because even about indecisive, like going to dentist, have you ever postponed going to dentist because you're afraid of that dentist? I am terrified of needles in my mouth. Can't stand them. I would hate them. I would rather take a needle anywhere else but inside my mouth. It is the most, to me, it's the most cruciating pain. And it's really no needle differently. It's just, it's that. I'm not going to get to it. I can get sick. No. Anyway. Or maybe we've putting off our fear of a surgery maybe coming up. I know I've got to have the surgery, but I'm just afraid. Again, God didn't give you the spirit of fear. Or maybe you are having marital problems and you're afraid to go into marriage counseling. You're afraid it might be revealed. Or maybe you're afraid of sharing your faith at work. So you need to ask yourself, what am I afraid of? What is keeping me? Why am I procrastinating on fear? Number four. Again, we talked about this in our giant. Anger. Anger. Proverbs 18 says, a lazy person is as bad as someone who is destructive. Procrastination is a way to get back at people we don't like. Think about that for a moment. Because we delay. Kids are great at procrastination. They're huge at that. You tell them to go clean the room, and they'll take forever to clean it. Way past your time. Why do you think that? I can't answer for everyone. But maybe one of the reasons why they're procrastinating is because they're resisting your control over them. See, because procrastination is passive resistance. And what that means is, I don't want to do it because I don't like you telling me what I have to do. How many of us men are like that with our women or our wives? Or vice versa. I shouldn't leave you guys out. But we're like that. I know I gotta do it, but I don't want you to tell me I gotta do it. Anger causes us to put things off. Number five, the big one, laziness. And the book of Proverbs is, like I said, is full of condemnation of laziness. Proverbs 13:4, lazy people want much but get little, while the diligent are prospering. See, one of the most popular words in America we hear is the word easy. Right? If it's easy, we like it. If it's hard, we don't. Can you imagine a book called this? 10 Difficult Steps to Change Your Life. Nobody's reading that book. It surely wouldn't be a top seller. But if it said the 10 easy steps to change your life, man, we're buying that book. Because we've heard this before. If it was easy, everyone would be doing it. Right? Sometimes living for the Lord is not easy. It's rewarding for our souls, but it's not easy. Because if it was easy, everyone would be doing it. There's something about procrastination that I want to share with you. It's called desire. See, desire can drive us to like in ways that nothing else can. Right? You think about this. You whatever you enjoy doing, you never procrastinate with it. Never. Right? But the things that you do not enjoy, you'll procrastinate. You will balk about it. You'll squawk about it. You will foot drag, pounce all over because you don't want to do it. But if you just sprinkle just a little bit of dash of desire in whatever that you don't want to do, and all things start changing. Once you refer to it procrastination, it now gets moved to the front of the line, right? What happens is we become, because deep within us, we say, I must do this thing. So we become diligent, we become focused on that thing. See, our face and our eyes, they just spring to life because now we're excited, it's desirable. And it's amazing what desire can do. An identifying mark of all who belong to God is the fact that the desire for the things of God is alive and well. See, Jesus described desire as hunger and thirst. Matthew 5:6, right? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. That's what we want. Hunger and thirst for righteousness, to live for God, to do what He wants to do, to share our faith with people, tell them about the Lord, what they've done in our lives, what He can do in their lives. And see, all these five reasons I just went over, these are the things that are keeping you from getting right with God. And while our lives, our situations, what's happening is our lives are getting worse and worse. And we start to whine and we start to complain and we say, woe is me, while we insist on procrastinating to get right with God. God says, listen, I have the plan, I have the formula, just got to follow it. But no, we'd rather procrastinate. I'm just as guilty, we'd rather procrastinate about it and whine about it, why this problem is in our life, when we're not getting right with God. I had a lady many, many years ago come to my office and say to me, my kids are not following the Lord, they're being rebellious. And my response to them was, what are you doing about it? How is your life right with God? She didn't like that too much. But usually sometimes, when you get convicted, you don't like it. I know I don't. But I know it's good. I know sometimes being convicted is good because it helps us, it should motivate us to get right. So we not only know that procrastination will rob you of opportunity to service. And also, it will rob us of getting right with God. But number three, procrastination robs you of the opportunity for salvation. See, procrastination should keep you from becoming a Christian. That's what happened to these two people we just read. Right? They were spiritually dark. They came from very simple families. I don't have time to go over them in that for time's sake. But they were in a very bad place. So the Apostle Paul, he was brought before Felix, and he was brought before Felix a charge of troublemaking. If you look back at 24 verse 5, this is the reason why Paul was put in prison. Or one of, but the thing here. For we have found this man a plague, one who stirs up riots among all the Jews throughout the world, and he is a ringleader for the sect of the Nazarenes. He even tried to profane the temple, but we seized him. Obviously false charges. See, here's the thing. So when Felix brought Paul to him, people say, well, he's in chains, right? He's all chained up. He never defended himself what he did. He never defended himself for sharing the gospel of Christ. See, because no matter where Paul went, he always, always had a mission, and that was to share the gospel. Wherever he went, he didn't care. He didn't care whether he was in prison, he didn't care whether he was free, he didn't care. See, when Paul begins to speak, it was almost as Felix had been brought before Paul instead of Paul having been brought before Felix. The roles reversed. He didn't care he was in chains. Yeah. Felix says, hey, why should I let you go? What's the deal here? No, let me tell you about Jesus. This is the reason why you locked me up, and now I'm going to tell you. If he never got locked up, this is a side note. If he never got locked up, he may have never had a conversation with Felix about the Lord. God took something that wasn't good and made it good. So Paul spoke to Felix, and he spoke to Jesus about his faith in Christ, about righteousness, about self-control, about judgment to come. And that sermon was well-suited, like I said, because Felix and Jerusalem was definitely in need of all three of these areas. They were unrighteous people. Their marriage was immoral. Their backgrounds were filled with spiritual darkness. So no doubt they felt quite uncomfortable at Paul's words. Think about this. Here's Paul standing before Felix before in chains. So by human standards, Paul's a prisoner and Felix is the free man. But in truth, Felix's soul is in chains, wanting to be waiting for his death sentence, while Paul, who is physically chained, is inwardly free for all eternity. And Felix's response, right, to Paul's sermon was something you don't see much from a governor when you're reading the Bible. When he hears the word spoken, Felix was alarmed, as the scripture says. He was afraid. One translation says that he was terrified. God had spoken mighty to Felix's heart, and he was overtaken by the fear of his judgment in light of his past and his present life. But then, Felix had the opportunity. At the very time when he could have had all of his fears relieved, Felix said the word that would be his downfall. In a sense, what he said was, tomorrow. Tomorrow. Felix sent Paul away, saying he would call for him again at a more convenient time. Felix had procrastinated, and guess what? Paul never had another opportunity with Felix again. He put off life's most important and sometimes most difficult task, getting right with God, getting saved, who created and who will judge us all. And like I said, the Bible never tells us of that convenient time ever came. But if the devil continued to do his job well, Felix probably never found a convenient time. He put off until a convenient time, never put off a convenient time when we should have grabbed immediately. If there's ever an opportunity to share Jesus with someone, never doubt, never stop, never put it off. Never put it off. And if you're here today, you don't know the Lord, this is your day. There is never going to be a convenient time. The time to be saved is when God shows you your need, and who knows whether ever again you're ever going to sense that need again. I'm going to read you something real quick. It's called A Conference in Hell. The devil had a meeting in hell, and he goes on how to deceive people. And one demon said, "You know, I'll tell you what, let us tell the people that the Bible is not true." They replied, "Well, that will work, but only up to a certain point." So then a second demon came and said, "Hey, tell them that Jesus is not Lord." And the devil replied, "Well, that will work up to a certain point as well, but it's going to end eventually." So there was silence for a while, but finally an older demon, more wiser in his way, suggested that they allow people, let's allow people to believe that the Bible is the Word of God and that Jesus is Lord. But let us convince the people that they have all the time in the world to obey Him. There's no hurry. The devil smiled and said, "That will work. Go." Procrastination is one of Satan's greatest weapons. And Satan's favorite word is tomorrow. His favorite word is tomorrow. If he can get someone to keep putting off thinking about his salvation until tomorrow, he has it right where he wants them. If tomorrow is Satan's favorite word, then maybe God's word should be today. If Satan's word is tomorrow, then maybe God's word should be today, because today is the word that is at the heart of God. See, so it's another one of those powerful lies that many people have believed in, that we must not allow the devil to fool us, because the only guarantee we have is today. As Paul says, 2 Corinthians 6:2, "Behold, now is the set of time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." And as followers of Christ, we also must not procrastinate when it comes to sharing the gospel with the lost. There's no time to waste. Jesus compared sharing Christ with the efforts of a man inviting people to a great banquet. Luke 14, I'm not going to read it there, but it goes, "As he sent out his servants with the invitations, he said, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.'" The most remarkable qualities about this invitation is its openness. Anyone and everyone is invited. No one is excluded from God. But here's this. And the urgency. The call to the feast must go out quickly. Look, there's a lot of people. My dad, that generation, and maybe even our generation, thinks that we are in our last days. Whatever that may mean, my dad still believes that before he dies, the Lord's going to come back. Let's just say, obviously only God knows, but let's just say that's true. Let's say that's even true in our own lives. Well, let's just say our parents' lives, if they're still alive. How many more years do you think they have to live? How many more years do you think we have? How many people out there that we know, our friends, maybe family, we know that don't know Jesus? And if we are on a short time period, which we are, what are we doing about that? Do we even care? See, here's the thing. Your job is not to save them. My job is not to save them. Our job is to share with them. I've told you guys this before. It's God's job to save them. That's a much harder job. He can have it. I just want to share with them. Tell them what Jesus has done in my life. Tell them what they can do in their life. They have a choice to do this or do this. They have a choice. We can't make it for them. And some people, when hearing the gospel and knowing their spiritual need, they delay in making that response. And this is the most dangerous type of procrastination, because life is short and we do not know what will happen tomorrow. I have some other scriptures that are going to come up on the screen here. From James chapter 4. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go in such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Next one. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. For what is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. The Bible urges us to address our spiritual need with God today. Hebrews 3:12 and 13 says this: take care, brothers, lest there be any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Here's verse 15. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. To procrastinate and put off our spiritual need with God is to harden our own heart. So don't believe the devil's lie that you have plenty of time to obey, because all you know for sure is today. Today may be your last day. But there is a prescription for overcoming procrastination. Let me give you two, five of them quickly here. Number one, stop making excuses. Proverbs 22:13. The sluggard says, there is a lion outside, I shall be killed in the streets. Don't be afraid to do it. I remember my football coach, it's like it's been embedded in my brain. My football coach says, excuses are for losers. We can't make excuses why we can't share Jesus. So stop making excuses. Number two, believe that God will help you. Believe it. Mark 9:23, Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible for the one who believes. Understand that whatever you're going through, whatever you're doing, that Jesus will help you through it. Whether it's fear, whether it's anger, whether any of those temptations we talk about, whatever it is, Jesus will help you through it, and believe it that He will. Number three, set a deadline and schedule it. Proverbs 13:16 says, every prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool flaunts his folly. In other words, I have a deadline, so-and-so I need to speak to, and I need to speak to it by a certain day, because I can't let this escape. And make it, schedule it, and keep it. Number four, get a spiritual partner, accountability partner. I've always told you guys this. Romans 1:12 says that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. In other words, you need someone who's going to be able to help you, to give you that little boost. Someone who is strong in their faith, someone that you can rely on, that you can trust in, that's not going to give you just what you want to hear, but going to give you the truth. And it's going to push you, as you will them, to get out there and do what you need to do to get away from procrastination. Number five, start now. Do it now. Don't wait till tomorrow. Well, you know, I'm going to start tomorrow morning. You know, we say diets. Well, I'm going to wait till the end of the month. I'll wait till the, you know what, I'm going to wait till January 1. Why not start before Christmas? Well, I don't want to miss all the food. You're procrastinating. You want to eat the food. Let's be real about it. Do it now. Proverbs 27:1 says, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. So the next time that you find yourself procrastinating, stop and ask yourself why. Why am I doing this? Why am I procrastinating when I need to do this? Then ask God to help you overcome it so that you can move forward and do what you need to do. See, boldness is the act of cure for procrastination. Boldness to act is the act of cure for procrastination. So are you putting off until tomorrow a decision about your salvation or getting right with God or maybe even serving Him? I mean, are you putting off a decision to begin walking as a committed disciple of Christ, laying aside the things of this world, the giants that are holding you back, and just start living for Him today? Maybe you hear the gospel presented, whether it's a separate salvation or getting right with God, you hear it regularly in the church, or you hear it on the radio, whatever it may be, and you keep telling yourself you need to respond and get things right with God. And like James 4:14 said, you're putting this off. You are building your future on a foundation of a mist. Mist comes and goes, right? What's a mist? It's only there for a short period of time. James 4:14 again. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time, then vanishes. Procrastination is a giant that will rob you of the opportunities for service, the opportunity to be right with God, but most of all, it will rob you of the opportunity to be saved. Whatever you do, don't procrastinate about being saved. Don't procrastinate about getting right with God, because today may be the only chance you have. So now that you have faced your giants, whether it's the five that we talked about, or whatever this, the five previous, or today, whatever it is, are you ready? Because here's the thing, I told you this last week, I'll tell you again, you know that God wants to bless you and I. You know that. Here's the thing though, all He wants us to do is do what He wants us to do. To live for Him in obedience and sharing Jesus with everyone we can. Isaiah 6:8 says, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And Isaiah says, then I said, here I am, send me. By the way, it's a little preview of next week. Are you ready to tell God, send me? Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this series. Thank you for all that you do. I thank you for the opportunity to be able to share. I thank you for the many blessings you give me. And I know the blessings are still to come, because you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I pray, Father God, as we have listened to this, Lord, that we're reminded some people that need to hear Jesus. And I pray that they wrote their names down, and Father God, when they leave here today, they will go and make that phone call or go visit that person. And if they're a long list, Father, I pray they would schedule it and set it up, whether you take them out for dinner, for coffee, wherever it may be. Father God, our job is just to share. Your job is to do the rest. And I just pray, Father God, that our lives are right with you, that we can go share with them. And if our lives aren't right, Lord, today, then I pray today will be the day they say, it is time to get right. Now is the time. Now is the day of salvation. So thank you, Lord, for each and every one that's in this room, Lord God. And I pray that we just give you the glory that you deserve. It's in your name we pray. Amen.